Our scripture reading this morning before the sermon is from the book of Ephesians, which was written by Paul to the church in Ephesus, and he wrote it while he was in prison in Rome. And as he's concluding his letter to the Ephesians, he writes about the armor of God. And he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should."
Thank you, Mike, for the reading of God's word today. We are starting a new series. What? Everybody say that. What? No way. Whatever. Whatever. That's all good. And today, as I was, trying to keep up with Steve on the internet, I noticed a notification that next Sunday, we're springing forward. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Next Sunday, we're springing forward. Get ready for that. It's good to see you here today, especially some of you who I know have been ill. And so it's been a while since some of us have seen each other, and I'm really glad to see you. I know that we're still battling. Some are out. I'm happy to see that Alan can play the keyboard. And actually, he's pretty darn good at it. But I really miss Beth, you know, seriously. Alan's good, but he's not Beth. So take our prayers for Beth and all the others who are sick and not with us today. The scripture that Mike read to us is going to be the foundation for what we're going to do for the next several weeks. And if you have a Bible and you can count Sundays, you can figure out kind of what's coming up ahead, because we're going to talk about one of these parts of the armor every week. But first, a little intro into the whole reason for the armor. And so before we do that, let's pray. God, thank you for the blessing of your word. And Father, as we begin to examine this part of Ephesians, the part of your word that has been read to us this morning, open our hearts to what it means to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you remember where you were? Of course, front row, not counting you. Do you remember where you were when the Twin Towers fell? Y'all don't know. Michelle might have been born, I'm not sure. There you go. So, yes, there you go. Y'all remember it well, I'm sure. But the rest of us, a little older, I'm looking around at the younger ones. Man, it was a rough day. I was in charge of chapel at ACU that day. And we had a guest speaker. And the guest speaker was coming. He was a person who lived in town, and he was going to dress up, and he does this quite often because he works with homeless people and people who are poor. So he dresses like one often, and we'll just sit around and observe how people treat him. And he was ready to go. He was already in place. And so I knew where he was going to be and what he was doing, and I went to find him. I said, "Mark, you're not speaking in chapel today. Oh, did you get the date wrong?" I said, "No, you probably haven't heard." And I began to tell him about what had happened. I was teaching Bible class at that time, teaching sophomore Bible. And I talked to my class, who are sophomores, and I said, "Some of you will go to war before you finish college." And some of them did. And thank God, all the ones in my class who did go, they returned. But a lot of men didn't. A lot of women didn't. Because we were at war. And you know what? That day, we knew it. It wasn't like, "I wonder what's going to happen next." Well, we did have a lot of that, "I wonder what's going to happen next." But we weren't surprised that it was going to be bad. And it was going to be warfare. Now, as Christians, a lot of time, it's not so obvious that we're at war. But this is what we need to think about as we move into what we're getting ready to talk about, the idea that we are at war. And now then, it's really important about this, and this is, again, strange as it is, this spiritual warfare idea follows very much physical warfare. And one of the things you have to do at the beginning is discern who is the enemy. We know that we're going to have trouble. We talked about this verse for last 6 weeks. We're going to have trouble in this world. But it's not just like trouble like I stumped my toe. It's trouble like we're at war. And so the first thing we come to know is our enemy is not flesh and blood. And we know this because Mike just read this from God's word to us. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. So our enemy isn't Republican or Democrat. Our enemy is not Syrian. Our enemy is not Chinese. Our enemy is not our parents. Our enemy is not our boss. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. We have an enemy, powerful enemy, not flesh and blood. Now, that's tough because sometimes the punch I get in the face is from flesh and blood. The bad talk that breaks my soul, the things that the way that I often feel hurt by the words of others comes from a human being. So it's hard to say, "Well, wait a minute. If they're not my..." Well, we'll get into that. This is coming. But this statement, our enemy's not flesh and blood. Our enemy is the devil. And this scripture says, and his schemes. Now, this is really important, the idea that Satan is a schemer. And, you know, sometimes I've been a schemer. Have you ever been a schemer? Sometimes, not necessarily in a, well, sometimes even in a really bad way, but sometimes it's frustrating. Certain schemes are frustrating. My mom is on the, looking at her computer, she's reading Facebook, and she gets a notification that a message from her friend, and her friend tells her that her friend has won or has been rewarded $100,000. And there's a way for my mom to get this $100,000 too if she will just do these certain steps. And mom is reading this to me and to dad, and we're like, "Whoa, that's not true." So mom got a little bit angry. And what she started to do is replying back. So she starts playing this con game back, and dad and I are saying, "Don't do that." Don't do that either. She's like, only 100? I got 110. What's the matter? You know, I said, don't do that, Mom. But she was being schemed, right? Our enemy is the devil and his schemes. This is important also to know. Our enemy is the rulers. This is the list of people it says. The rulers, the powers, and spiritual forces of evil in this dark world. Now, here's an interesting use of a couple of words here. In our prayer book that we're studying through, and we're studying the power of prayer in a couple of chapters, Steve is going to lead us in a study about praying for rulers and authorities. I mean, that's coming up in the book. I've looked ahead. And so, what is this? I'm scheming. What is this rulers and authorities? That's our enemy. Our enemy are the rulers and authorities. Well, catch on to the whole sentence. The rulers, authorities, powers, and spiritual forces of evil. There is a kind of authority in our world that is from not God. Now then, every really good thing is given from God. Everything's from God, but what happens is we'll abuse and misuse it. We could have a whole study on this idea of the authorities and the rulers being from the evil, dark side. And, I want to go into that right now, but it's not for today. But just know that there is this powerful force in the universe of evil. And I'm not talking about Star Wars kind of evil force, even though, yeah, that's evil. But not that, but this reality of evil in our world that has taken charge of some of the authorities, I want to say systems that are broken, that end up, they might have started out helping people, but now they hurt people. You know what I'm saying? There are some kinds of systems and authorities that they're set out to help people, but now they're hurting people. And it's especially this way. And Art and Betty and I were talking about some emergency rooms last night where you go and you're wanting to get help. The thing has been set up to help people, but it instead doesn't help. And people who work there feel helpless, almost like, I can't help it. That's just the way the system works. Well, we could go into that more, but the point today is that this is our enemy. And so because this is our enemy, we have an enemy. What Paul tells the Ephesians to do, and us, is to put our armor on. Get ready. You're in a fight. You're in a fight today. Put your armor on. So when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. A couple of weeks from now, we're going to talk especially about this term, stand your ground. But today we're talking about armor, and it's a different kind of armor than you may think, because it's not what I call gladiator armor. Okay? It's not like this. As a matter of fact, 2 Corinthians says that we fight a war, but we don't fight with the same weapons that the world uses. It's really important. The weapons we use are not the weapons of the world. We're in a big talk about weapons right now, right? Our current culture is in a discussion about weapons, automatic rifles. Or with Russia, your weapons are better than our weapons, or no, our weapons are better than your weapons, or warfare. Our technology is better than your technology. We're hacking you. You're hacking you. We're hacking you so good, you don't even know you got hacked. You know, this is like back and forth with enemies. It's not that kind of armor either. We're supposed to put on armor that looks more like this is armor. It's compassion and prayer and love. But specifically, we're going to talk about what Paul says here in Ephesians, the armor of God. And today we're going to talk about the belt of truth. So, one of the things about the belt, and almost every commentary you're going to read about this section of Scripture is going to talk about the different parts of Roman armor. And I got kind of tired of, I'm not going to talk very much about Roman armor. I'm not going to make a lot of comparisons. I'm mostly going to talk about truth. But one of the things it did say that kind of caught my attention was in the Roman armor, the belt held everything together. It's where you put your sword. It's what kept your pants from falling down. It's what kept your breastplate in place. The belt held everything together. And I've seen some guys in our recent culture who need a belt because everything of theirs isn't held together. But the belt of truth. So our point isn't talking about belts, really. It's talking about truth. Okay, so today we're going to talk about the idea of truth, especially when we know that the key weapon of our enemy is deception. Satan is a liar. John 8:44 says this. I'm going to read it straight from the word. You belong, he's talking to some Pharisees who were kind of confused. They were more confused than anything else. And he says, you belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out his desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and there's no truth in him. This is talking about Satan. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Satan is a liar. Lies come from Satan. He is the father of lies. And when you speak lies, or when I speak a lie, we're talking in his language. 2 Corinthians says that he masquerades as an angel of light. He says he's bringing good news, but he's really bringing bad news. He says he has a plan that's good for you, but his plan that he says is good is like the scheme that my mom was reading on Facebook. It's going to end up making her bankrupt, not giving her lots of money. He's a schemer. He's known throughout Scripture as the deceiver. This was his nickname, Satan the deceiver. His primary weapon is lying. So, there's lots of lies to be told by Satan. I picked out what I'm calling my top five. My top five will be different tomorrow, so this is the top five for today. Top five. Lie number one. You need to make yourself happy. There's so many things wrong with this statement. First of all, you. The word you. Like you are the one who's going to supposed to make you happy. That in itself is impossible. But it's something that we're told, little voice in our brain is saying, you need to make yourself happy. In this situation you're walking into, you got this or you got this. I need to make myself happy. My sophomore granddaughter has just quit the golf team. Why did she quit the golf team? Because I wasn't happy, Pop. Golf was not making me happy. I said, what kind of crazy person are you? You got to go out to play golf for free every day. Steve Barnett would love to be a sophomore in high school. But it wasn't making me happy, Pop. And that's why I need to always think about first is what makes me happy. I'm kind of tired of golf right now. Well, of course, it's February. You know, come on. Half the days you spent in the gym. Golf, not making me happy right now, Pop. I said, man, I hope you don't ever have any kids. What's going to happen to them? This kid ain't making me happy. Shoo, toss him out the window. I need to make myself happy. No, it's a lie. That's the exact lie Satan told Eve in the garden. Hey, man, you eat this, it's going to be good. You're going to like it. It's going to be great. Lie number two, if things go wrong, it's God's fault. Why did God let this happen to me? Well, maybe it's because you did something stupid. You know? Don't laugh too much. It's about me. I have this string of speeding tickets. I'm driving way too much these days, by the way. But I like the places I'm going, and I want to get there quickly. Why does God let every cop on the road find me? I don't know that. You know, this is the mentality. Why does God let these bad things happen to me? Why did God make me allergic to the things I like? That's not just not right. Why did God let this happen? This is the lie, again, that Adam bought into and tried to sell back to God. Here's what Adam said when God showed up after they'd eaten the fruit. He said, well, God, I ate this fruit because this woman that you gave me gave it to me. Yeah, it's after all, God, if you'd given me a different woman, this probably wouldn't have happened. It's God's fault. It's God's fault. Lie number three. You are so messed up that no one could love you, especially God. At camp, one of the things we did was activity, high school camp. I ran a high school Bible camp in the summers for a long, many, many years. And one of the things we did was try to help high school students understand the lies of God that they would be faced with. Well, a couple of college girls made this list, and there's 96 lies on here that are just right. Everybody, they're, yeah, you know it. You're a failure. It's all your fault. You're a disappointment to your family. These are lies that kind of creep into our mind. You're worthless. By the way, God made you to lust, so it's probably okay. This will always haunt you. Your family will never forget you if they ever find out. You know, these are the things. Carly Cagle is the person who wrote this for our camp. So all of us, many of us here know Carly, and another girl named Holly Kraft. I would love to have these girls right here. They could do it. Well, not you, Lucas. You're not one of the girls, but you could join them. You could do it. You're just not one of the girls. So, but they know, right? Don't you hear lies coming to you through your mind all the time? And a lot of them have to do with this idea that you're not good enough. You're not good enough, or you're not smart enough, or you're not pretty enough. You're not rich enough. You're not funny enough. You're not strong enough. There's so many others, just lies. You're messed up. God, He couldn't love you. So, along with this is lie number 3B. This is what I want to do. When I have a list of five, but I really have six things, this is what I do. 3B. So we fake it. So people say, how are you doing today? And what do we say?
Good.
I'm good. I'm fine. Oh, cool. Everything's great. Inside, we're dying because we've sucked a lie into us. So what we do is we lie again. The lie that perpetuates the lie that perpetuates the lie. So I know people like this. I'm like this in some ways. I don't want to go to the doctor sometimes. You know why I don't want to go to the doctor? He might find out something wrong with me. Wait a minute, isn't that why I should go to the doctor? But I want to lie like, oh no, everything's great, everything's okay. Or I'm going to try harder. Okay, I know, I screw it. And if I will just think harder and try harder, I won't make that same mistake again. But then I do. As if trying harder is the answer. And if Satan can get us on that lie to believe that lie, then it goes back to being, it's all about me. Can I get it done? Can I make myself into the person I need to be? I just need to try harder. I know I failed yesterday. What I'm going to do today is try harder. Satan's licking his lips, man. He's got us in that one. Number four, your actions or your behavior don't really matter. God's going to love you no matter what. This is one of the worst kind of lies because it's partly true. The partly true lie is, by the way, if something's partly true, what does that mean? It's not true. Something that's just partly true. But this is partly true because God will love you no matter what. But it still matters how you act and how you behave. You know, there's such a thing as consequences. And there's pain and loss and sorrow. But Satan, because it doesn't matter how you act, God's going to take care of everything. And the next thing you know, you're in a hole of your own self-made consequences, causing pain and loss to you and others because you thought my behavior doesn't matter because we're facing the liar. He's an enemy. Here's another, my last one. Like, you know what? A list of scriptures, though, is always true. I can find out what I need just by getting a list of scriptures. Let me tell you what. Art talked about this morning when we were talking about communion. You know where those fights came from? It's person number one read scripture number one. Person number two read scripture number two. And those scriptures, they used them to fight each other. Like if I get a list, so Jesus was attacked by Satan when he went out into the wilderness. You know how Satan attacked him? He used scripture. Jesus is talking to a group of Pharisees. He says to them, you think you got everything down because you know the scriptures, but you don't know me. And if you don't know me, you can know all the scriptures perfectly, and you still won't find peace, and you won't find joy, and you won't find life. James says, that as a matter of fact, we can be deceived. We're deceiving ourselves. You know, the liar lies to us, and we lie to ourselves. We can be deceived when we know the scriptures and don't put them into action. It's not just the scripture. So the question comes to us today, we're going to get to, how do we put on this belt of truth? How do we suit up? Here's what I'm going to suggest for us today. And it's not the whole answer, but it's a little bit. It's a piece. First, we're going to listen to true things. How do I know what's true? I want to listen to true things. Now, how do I know what those are? That's going to come up, and we're going to get to that as we go through the rest of the armor. There's more armor pieces that are going to help us to answer Pilate's question. Pilate asked Jesus the question, what is truth? Like, hey, you know, you say good, I say good, we both say good, but we say it differently. What is true? What is true? Well, we'll get to that. Again, that's coming up in some other parts of the armor. But the point is, list the things you know are true. So where do you hear things? I'm going to say, first of all, conversation. Where does conversation happen? Well, it starts out in your family. You're hearing stuff. You're hearing things that are true. Sometimes the people who have told you things that aren't true aren't trying to deceive you. They just don't know the truth themselves. I've done that. I've told people something I thought was true, but it wasn't. I wasn't trying to be malicious. I wasn't trying to hurt them, but I had been told something true. So sometimes truth is going to come from someone who means well to us, and it might be even my parents. You know, my parents told me some things that turned out not to be true. And they told me some things about God that turned out not to be true. In the meantime, since then, both of us, my parents, we've learned different things about truth. But I want to get around me people who I know have my best interest at heart, who are trying to find the truth and are telling me the truth the most they can. Who do I say? Let me tell you where to begin. One good place to begin would be in this room right here. This room has people who are telling the truth to you. Now, there's a little more to it than that, but I want to start there. Another place is school. I learn a lot of good and true things at school. Has everything my teachers have always taught me been true? Nope. Because, you know, sometimes they don't know either. But still, this is where I come to learn things that are true. You know what? This happens all the time. People are going to come up and say, you know what I heard today? And they're going to tell you a fact, and you're going to think, well, that must be true. Well, no, maybe it isn't. So what I'm saying is, in both all these types of conversations, school, parents, friends. Now, again, parents, I want to tell you something that's kind of sad. It's the way life goes. Again, I'm pointing to the teenagers on the front row here. My teenagers on the front row, they used to believe you. But now they have friends. And what their friends say, often it just matters more. Just sorry about that. It's a fact. It just matters a little more. So again, who are you listening to? Makes a big difference on your hearing true things or not. Media. Man, and when I say media, I'm not talking about the news. That's one kind of media. I'm talking about books of any kind. I'm talking about music lyrics of any kind. I'm talking about movies of any kind that tell stories. And sometimes the stories we hear, we watch in movies, become truth to us. I used to believe that the movie, The Alamo, was a historic movie about what went down back in 1836. I thought that was the truth, that John Wayne did those things. That wasn't true. So what stories you listen to, what books you read, what movies you watch, that's important. What the lyrics of the songs you sing. And I used to argue with my dad. And this was when I was listening to the Beatles, and Dad thought they were bad. Man, he can't understand rap music. That's really good, you know. He can't understand those lyrics. Whew. But I would say, Dad, I'm not even listening to the words anyway. It's just about the beat. That's stupid. Me, you know, no, the things that you're listening to all the time, those are going to inform, they're going to shape your brain about what's true. What's true? So listening, who are you listening to? And there's a whole other list that I have that, you know, you could add to things. And I want you to think about this through the week. What do I listen to? What shapes my idea about what is true? Discerning what is true, finding out what is true. Think about true things. This is my message to you today. Think about true things. What are some other places where you find or hear truth? I want you to just popcorn, shoot it out to me. Somebody talk to me. Where is it that you hear things that you believe are true? What shapes your opinion of what's true? Okay, let me give you a hint, and then you'll start. The Bible. Whoa, okay, that'd be good. What else? People. Prayer. Keep coming. Nature. Okay, how about that? There's something you find. I thought I heard somebody say Facebook, and I'm going to say, that is not right. Okay, there you go. Check, okay, good. Where do you find truth? Come on, some other thing. Doctors, especially doctors that are good doctors. Has anybody ever been told something that's not true by a doctor, but they were trying their best, okay? So here's one of the things. This is important. Sometimes it's good to have, when you go to the doctor and other places where you want to find the truth, it's good to have a, yeah, let's check that out. Do some fact check. Life experience teaches you things that are true. When I slam my hand, well, let's make it even more realistic. When I keep speeding, I'm probably going to get a ticket. It's the truth. Stop doing that. You know, life experience teaches us things that about what's true. Self-talk. Man, sometimes self-talk is good and sometimes it's not. When I'm doubting, if I'm not sure something that's true, what I try to do in my self-talk is go back to the very basics of the thing I'm most sure about. What am I most sure about? That is true. For me, it comes down to just a couple of things. And in the chronology of when I discovered these things were true, I would say the first thing that is true is my parents love me. Now, some of you don't maybe come from families like that. But for me, it's my parents love me. I know that's true. So it comes down to this even bigger fact. There was a day when I discovered this truth, because some truth you don't just wake up, you're not born a toddler. Hey, I know this. You know, you discover truths. And this is when I discovered God loves me. God loves me. Now, sometimes I think I see evidence against that. But again, when I do, it's usually that Satan is lying to me. Because the truth is, God loves me. So I get into this place where it's like, wait, if God loves me, then that changes the way I view all this whole rest of this other situation. But I know that's true. So if God loves me, then these other things have to be true. That's why we put on the belt of truth first. What is my basic core truth? God loves me. Well, we're going to get into a little bit later the idea about faith and how faith connects with truth. So hang on for that. That's a different part of the armor. Today, I want you to just think about the idea of discerning what is true and listening to true things. I'm going to read to you a scripture from Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9. I have a little piece of wood that has these words written on it. You can do the same thing. There's some words in Betty's house where I stay with Betty and Art in their kitchen. There's some true words up on the wall, different walls. There's also some snarky words because, you know, Betty is that kind of girl. What can I say? That's what makes Betty's fun. That's one of the things. I'll bring pictures if you need proof. But she has true words on her, words from Scripture about doing everything, do everything you do with love. This is what's right next to my bed. It says, finally, brothers, sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the peace of God will be with you. One of the things we're going to do right now is we're going to sing a song called Great Are You, Lord. Now, one of the things we do here every week is we sing to each other. Partly we're singing to God, and partly we're singing to each other. And sometimes it's great to sing and just bust out and sing loud. Sometimes it's good to just listen. Now, if everybody listened, that wouldn't be good because nobody would be singing. But sometimes it's good just to listen to the words we sing, because some of the words we sing are the most true things you'll hear all week. And so as we sing this song, I want you to listen to it for truth. And as you speak it, maybe you're singing, you're one of the ones who's singing, that you'll hear these words and you'll hear truth. And you'll say, these are things I can say. I believe these things are true. And I'm going to go to war today. And who I'm going to war against is an enemy who wants to destroy me. And he's going to use lies. So I need truth. And as I listen to this song, I hear truth. Okay? I hear truth. After we sing this together, I'll have another just closing word, and then we'll go.